It's time to go out and
don't bother. Hey, boys and girls, ladies and gents, ascended beings, enlightened beings, evolving beings, good friends and longtime companions all over the planet. Welcome back to a nightclub at the end of the earth. But it's not really at the end of the world. It's not. It's the end of reality as we know it. It is Sunday, December the 2nd, 2012, and there's going to be a different show tonight because I spent most of the day not having a clue about what I was going to say, just kind of floating and asking the ether for ideas, but I think I'll come up with some good stuff. Well, we will get to calls certainly in the second half of the show. I really want to hear from you guys, but it is so apparent that all of the explanations offered for what is happening in the world out there suck. They are not. One of the best quotes that I ever heard in my whole life was a quote from Fred Hampton Jr., Black Panther Party member. I think he said it in about 1967, not too long before Chicago police shot him like 27 times in his bed while he was sleeping naked with his girlfriend. Fred Hampton stood up and he said, "We get answers that don't answer. We get explanations that don't explain, and we get conclusions that don't conclude." That's one of the best, and boy, is that true now as the disintegration of planet Earth as we know it and human industrial civilization as we know it is so apparent, but so especially, and that's I'm going to start talking tonight with this, are the changes being manifested by Mother Earth. They are rapid, they are violent, they are increasing. If you have not been following it, I recommend Dutch Sinse, D-U-T-C-H-S-I-N-S-E. You'll find him posted frequently on my Facebook page by my cool Facebook friends, man. They're very active and very participating, and the networking is good. But Robin Westenra in New Zealand is also watching this. But from a hard documented standpoint, the number of earthquakes occurring around the planet is exploding. I mean, like 10 times, something like that above normal. Don't hold me to the number, but it's really significant. And there's lots of postings about recent earthquakes. And Mother Earth is, in case nobody has noticed, with biblical droughts, with a new coastline in the northeast U.S., with the solar flares. We're having a big drought here in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Fortunately, we're sitting on a very beautiful water table. But Mother Earth is active. The ice caps now are going to be gone in 2 to 3 years. And just, 4 years ago, they said, oh, they might be gone by 2050 to lull you back into being stupid or blind. Everything is just accelerating, but the earthquakes are interesting. So I clipped this tonight, that came up from the Extinction Protocol. It's a good website. Pressure under Japan's Mount Fuji volcano rising eruption would be a nightmare for Japan. September 7th, in Japan. Pressure in the magma chamber. This was a warning on September 7th. Wait till you hear what happened today. The story I pulled today. Japan. Pressure in the magma chamber of Japan's Mount Fuji is now higher than it was the last time the volcano erupted more than 300 years ago, scientists say, according to a report Thursday. Tectonic shifts triggered by last year's huge 9.0 magnitude undersea quake have left the chamber under 16 times the minimum pressure at which an eruption can occur. 16 times greater than the bottom threshold, okay, for an eruption, researchers said. Researchers at the National Research Institute for Earth Science and Disaster Prevention studied the tectonic movements caused by the tsunami triggering quake on March 11, 2011, and a magnitude 6.4 quake that rocked central Japan 4 days later. Kyoto News reported they estimated that 1.6 megapascals, I have no idea what they are, but it's a unit, 1.6 megapascals of pressure, equivalent to atmospheric pressure of some 15.8 kilograms per square centimeter or 226 pounds per square inch, was being exerted on the magma chamber. Volcanic eruptions can be triggered by as little as 0.1 megapascals. This is 1.6 against 0.1 bottom threshold. and the reading of 1.6 is, quote, not a small figure. Well, kudos to Robin Westenra on Facebook, and a couple other people caught this, but this is from CNN December 2nd, in other words, today. Nine bodies recovered from vehicles crushed when tunnel collapses in Japan. Earth changes Sunday. Robin Westenra noted, I am no expert at reading all of this, and then hearing that the tunnel collapse in Japan occurred under the hills leading to Mount Fuji, I have been wondering about the connections, and I've spoken to somebody who's been through that tunnel. Yes, it's close to Mount Fuji, and something made that tunnel, and nine bodies have been recovered. That is nowhere near the death toll, and that's going to come from that. Also that Robin put up, published November 30th from Huffington Post, earthquake strike Vanuatu in the Pacific, Romania, Alaska, and Central America. And as I've been watching these on Facebook, and as I scan them through the World News Desk at CollapseNet, it's apparent that the frequency of earthquakes is increasing, and so is the strength. Now, an eruption of Mount Fuji would devastate the whole world. There is just there's just nothing that, you know, can mitigate that. Of course, it depends upon how big the eruption is, but it would be devastating to Japan, and it would, which is already mortally wounded. Now it's going to die a faster death. But this is happening all over the world. And, you know, there are those of us who understand that something much greater, and I appreciate what Gary Null did about HAARP, but HAARP is not the cause of all of this. In other words, if you're trying to think critically, which is something I have been accused of in my life, if you're trying to think critically, ask yourself if removing HAARP would solve all of the other problems on the planet. Would removing HAARP resolve the melting ice caps? Would removing HAARP do away with the political corruption and a society that lives on war and fear? So this is where critical thinking is important, and I submit, as I always have, and you all know I believe in my heart that Mother Earth is absolutely alive, and that these changes have been accurately foretold, and we're going to go into some of that tonight, and in upcoming shows, and that this is not something bad. It is something you and I and anybody whose consciousness touches this have a choice about how we respond to it. And for the better part of this year, it just occurred to me today that this is the first time in 2.5 years of doing this show that I really didn't have a clear idea of what I was going to say tonight, so I asked Spirit to help. I've been working for a year to make it clear that not being spiritual, not including spirituality, that not including the amazing developments in particle physics, the science that has been suppressed and repressed, like forbidden archaeology, not including that, leaves that world, the people who inhabit that world, with no solution, no answer. And insisting upon living in a world that excludes spirituality, the prophecies, that excludes the possibility of extraterrestrial presence on this planet, manifestly and manifoldly expands the range of possibilities for understanding. And what is happening now is that there is a clear and unmitigated shift, and not only shift, but separation is taking place between those who live and choose to live and must live and need to live in fear, who have not learned enough lessons from that world yet, a low frequency vibration, and those who understand the necessity, the imperative, and the absolute joy that might become possible from living in a consciousness, a much higher frequency world, governed by love and compassion. And as my Lakota native teachers would say, mitakuye oyasin, all my relations, meaning an understanding that I and you and everything are all connected. There is no division. So I'm cruising through this week, and man, I have seen and I have heard some bizarre stuff. I'm going to play something for you here in a minute that's off of YouTube. I have been amazed for so long, and this is what I've written about until I'm blue in the face, and people like Charles Eisenstein write about, who's been a guest on the show a couple times, and spiritually aware people. It's like my saying, infinite growth is not possible on a finite planet. Boom. Okay, until you change the way money works, you change nothing. But what we've all been trying to get at, and I think I quoted Eisenstein in a speech I gave in Portland on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, which is still up on the CollapseNet site, and I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. It's such a bizarre disconnect from with economists, for example, who have no connection to reality, who assume that we have infinite resources, who assume, and that's the Ben Bernankes, those are the people who are still trying to pursue infinite growth because they have no understanding, they're disconnected, and that was, you know, that's been the core of a lot of my spiritual writing and work over the last several years, but certainly of my life for a lot longer than that. This disconnect where that came, you know, comes from Genesis 1:28, that thou shalt have dominion and thou shalt rule and thou shalt subdue and no. See, that's, we're at the logical conclusion of that spiritual meme, of that construct, of that consciousness, that male-dominated consciousness that has run this planet. I was going to say into the ground, but that's not appropriate. That has run this planet almost off a cliff. Or as they would say in the prophecy of the eagle and the condor, this was the age in which the eagle, the male, almost killed the female part of life, i.e. the heart, a much more powerful organ, and now is the time when the feminine and the masculine can be balanced, but more importantly, male or egoic intellectual domination rule of this planet comes to an end. That's what we're facing a choice. So, we talk about that huge disconnect, and I heard something a few days ago that just, you need to sit down, if you drink, pour yourself a shot, you know, whatever. This is the, but it so clearly demonstrates the disconnect. Now, this is a clip from an unidentified radio show that was posted on YouTube November 17th, 2012 at 9:54 p.m. It's had almost 500,000 views already. And boy, if there's anything that sums it up, get ready to bang your heads. Put your helmet on. This is a total headbanger. That's all it says. It's from a radio show somewhere in Minnesota or the upper Midwest, and it's about a woman who is concerned about deer crossings. Hold on a second. I haven't done it. Thank you. I just got to – okay, now I'm going to have to ad lib. And I knew I forgot something. And this, I'm talking directly to the board in New York. This was my bad, not yours. Thank you for catching it. I'd assumed I sent it to you, and you know what happens. I just sent the link to the studio in New York. Okay, so until I get the signal that it's up and queued, I'm going to stall a little bit here. But as I watch this, you will not believe that you're hearing what you're hearing, but at the same time, the horror will be that you thoroughly understand what this woman is saying. And if you understand that, you will understand the people who would insist that what happened with Hurricane Sandy was all caused by HAARP and by chemtrails, which ignores the totality of everything that's going on. But what's more, when you hear this clip, and it's all queued up, now we're going to roll it. What's more, when you hear this clip, you will understand what it is like to be totally disconnected from the Earth. Let's roll a clip.
Quite the vent today. It sounds like what's going on with you.
Well, I wanted to voice my opinion on something that's been bothering me for a really long time.
Okay.
I tried writing the newspaper and contacting TV stations, but nobody seems to want to help me with this. So that's why I'm calling you guys.
What's the issue?
Well, over the past few years, I've been involved in three separate car accidents involving deer.
Mm-hmm.
So with the population and everything. Each of these incidents, they've occurred shortly after I saw a deer crossing sign on the highway. Well, my frustration is that Minnesota and North Dakota Departments of Transportation would allow these deer crossings to be in such high traffic areas. I mean, I've even seen them on the interstate. Why are we encouraging deer to cross at the interstate? I don't get it. That's such a high traffic area. I mean,
are you kidding?
I understand that deer are wild animals and they need to travel across the streets occasionally to survive and of course to find food, but it seems to me that so irresponsible of us to allow these deer crossings to be in areas where these deer are so likely to be struck by oncoming traffic. I mean, wouldn't you agree? You'd think they would put deer crossings maybe, in smaller towns, maybe during a school crossing. It would be a safer place for them to cross.
Wait.
Put the deer crossing sign.
You know, deer crossings aren't telling deer that it's safe to cross there. It's just more of like an alert for drivers so they know it's like a high deer population.
The government put the deer crossings there. They can direct the deer population anywhere they want to by moving that deer crossing sign. I mean, why in the world would they place it on the highway or the interstate, I mean, God, there are so many other places I can think of than putting the deer crossing signs on busy highways and interstates.
You seem to be under the misunderstanding that the deer are somehow attracted to the deer crossing sign.
Well, yeah, the deer crossing sign is there to allow the deer to know that's where they need to cross.
Right. And all these car accidents you had involved a deer after you saw a deer crossing sign.
Exactly. I mean, I'm trying to watch out for the deer, but, I mean, speed limit's 55, 65. How am I supposed to, you can't brake really quick if if the deer just is crossing in that deer crossing area.
So you'd like to see these signs move somewhere safer?
Right. If we can move them, don't put deer crossing signs on the interstate or freeways. Put them in lower traffic areas. Somewhere where the speed limit's, a lot slower.
Uh-huh.
Maybe small towns. I don't know. I think school crossings is a good idea.
Well, listen, we will, you say you've tried to contact quite a few people about this.
Right, yeah. I wrote, at least 3 or 4 letters.
Spread the word, okay? We will try to kind of help you raise some awareness for this issue, okay?
Oh, thank you. We need to move those deer crossing signs.
We appreciate your comment this morning.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Do you believe it? I mean, unfortunately, I do, and I don't. That was no act. But so, what occurred to me as I was listening to this, and the insanity, for lack of a better, it's called insanity, for what it is so apparent. But then, as I thought about the work that I've done and the frustration that I have expressed so many times, if you think that electing a Barack Obama or a Mitt Romney is going to stop what's going on, you're just as crazy. If you think that buying a Prius is going to stop this, you're just as crazy. If you think that writing a petition to have GMO foods labeled, signing one, is going to stop this, you're just as detached from the reality and the totality of the collapse, the disintegration, the death of a human era of consciousness and being, the end of that thing. If you're focusing on cosmetics, you are just as detached and unfocused and unrealistic as that woman was. And that's what I'm so happy to report, that this Gaian consciousness that is so clearly emerging, that many of us see awakening and strengthening. We're going to talk quite a bit about that. I listened on a great conference call between Don Alejandro of the Mayans and Grandmother Flor de Mayo in New Mexico. We're going to talk about that some in this show, too. The shift of the ages is here. The shift is hitting the fan. Are you part of it? Are you not? Are you consciously trying to move into a frequency and vibration of love? Or are you desperately trying to hold on and to protect old concepts, especially your old religions, which are about to be proved to be full of junk based upon superstitions and certainly the God that has ruled this planet for about the last 5,000 years is dead. And that's the God that I spit on from the podium when I delivered my speech on September 11th in Portland. It's a September 11th, 11, from the dais of a church. That God is dead. And as we move into that consciousness, there's a lot of stuff to talk about with that. That's what we're going to see. So I decided to pull up a song tonight. It's a new white trash song that I have never played on this show before. I don't know why that was. Maybe it was just wasn't time till now. New White Trash, of course, is the band that I and Doug Lewis, Andy Kravitz, and Kristen Weigard, and a whole lot of people were in, Arthur Barrow, in Venice, California. You can find our songs at New White Trash, Avalanche and Earthquake at the beginning of every show is from that album. That's one of my signature songs. I got a co-writing credit on this, I believe. I sing some of the backgrounds, but the bulk of the work was done by Doug Lewis, who also made a killer music video, which all of a sudden is starting to get a lot of hits from the New White Trash site there. So you can go to the New White Trash site if you want to see the video for this song, and just look under Realize the Lie. Here it goes.
Running with the dogs of war, we've run this race to fall. It's rotten to the core, when only war can save you. Internal war is evidence. As a whole, it all makes sense. When every politician is paid to play, when only war can save you. Looks like your wedding day. Two kids raise a family. Oh my, what a price to pay, when only war can save you. Mash your face against the glass. Ease your load, you won't be back. You'll be dying of a heart attack, when only war can save you.
And you know it's true. And you know it's true. And you know it.
It's a lie, what you hear. End in sight is nowhere near. God rest your soul in fear. When only war can save you. Darkness coming around. Everybody's leaving town. And only war can save you.
And you know it's true. And you know it's true. And you know it.
It got my dog. It's coming for you. And you know it's true. And only war can save you.
You know it's true.
That was Realize the Lie from New White Trash. One I hadn't played on this song before. It seems kind of appropriate now. Wake up, people. This is a way past decision point. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour. I want to share with you before we go out. There's I call it the wisdom quote of the week, and there's been a lot of great input on my Facebook page from Native Americans, but also from just a whole lot of very awake people around the world. But there was an image put up on this week, and I just got the quote, and that was so right on the money. Quote, a warrior is someone who places his body in between the enemy and the things that he loves and holds sacred. Aho. And we'll talk about it more after the break, but I was on this teleconference this week, not a participant, 4,000 people around the world listening, between Don Alejandro of the Mayans and Grandmother Flor de Mayo, and there was a Paiute, a very eloquent Paiute elder named Russell Jack, I believe it was, and several of the grandmothers, some of the 13 grandmothers were on this call. But I believe it was Don Alejandro who said this, that women give life and men protect it. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be, and it was utterly profound. And this was an essential change of transfer of energy on this planet on behalf of. There was just some beautiful prayers. It was about an 80-minute call, so I can't summarize it all. But it was just, and I heard Grandmother Flor. It was a change of command ceremony. Of transferring the male dominance, if you will, the patriarchal rule of this planet back to the female, to the feminine. And in listening to Grandmother Flor de Mayo, who has a slight New Jersey or New York accent, but if you see her picture, she's 100% Mayan. She's, you know, she's full blood, but she's lived in New York. That I love. I mean, I would really like to see a spiritually ascended grandmother who understood what subways were like, you know, and who had that kind of soul grounding with the rest of us. But as I listen to her and the other grandmothers speak, I heard women speak in a way that I have never heard before. I heard a woman speaking with true feminine authority. Not, Michael C. Rupert, you come in right now, your dinner is late. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a true feminine authority, which was so refreshing. All I could say was, I wanted to hear more. And so this is all about a shift. This is all about fulfilling the prophecy of the eagle and the condor. This is all about liberating our Mother Earth. This is all about liberating the feminine and ending 5,000 really shitty years of male-dominated rule. Aho. On that note, this is Michael C. Rupert. I'm on the Lifeboat Hour here at PRN-FM. We're going to let Diane Patterson take us out for some messages, and I'll talk to you on the other side. Well, that was a little bit of Diane Patterson bringing us back in. That's High Sierra Morning from my good friend Diane Patterson. You can find her all over the web. She's a superstar in my mind. She's certainly a big star. And it looks like she's going to be in Chichen Itza on the Yucatan Peninsula on December 21st. Me, I will be at a Native American ceremony here that might last for 2 days out in Crestone in the Baca in Crestone, Colorado. And I'm going to be in a safe place and in prayer. Now let's get this clear so that, you know, we have to give these caveats. It's like the end of damn, medicine commercials. Side effects may include ears falling off, sudden death, you know, cancer, blindness, whatever. But nobody here is saying that the world is ending on, December 21st. No one is saying that a light switch is going to be hit and suddenly everything is going to change. What is coming and what December 21st marks as a guarantor of a guarantor by virtue of its place in a 26,000-year cycle, which the Mayans understood perfectly. What is a guarantor of is a massive, wonderful change in energy. And that shift in energy, that evolution, is seriously underway. And so let me say this like a New Yorker, too. I'm tired of hearing about all these people who are complaining about all these changes that are taking place in their bodies. Yes, the frequencies are changing. DNA is changing. And man, I'm experiencing it. It is challenging. It is exciting, and I'm paying attention to it. And I'm because I want to make that shift. I want to go where Mother Earth is evolving to, and we'll be discussing this more. You know, I've come up with a term for all this because we have a crime, if you will. We have a set of circumstances on this planet, man-created conditions. You know, that for which there is no solution unless you jump in the rabbit hole. There's a Catholic mystic named Anthony DeMello. He was a Jesuit, I believe. He was given a book by a good friend in Northern California. I have to reach out to him soon. Anthony DeMello said there comes a point in time in life, and I've said this on the show before, when you either go stark, raving, irrevocably, lunatoid, certifiable, lock-up, drooling, insane, I'm paraphrasing, or you become a mystic. And what becoming a mystic is all about is admitting, Horatio, that there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in the philosophy by which this race of ours has been enslaved for about 5,000 years. That's paraphrasing George Orwell. So this shift is underway, and there are lots of physical changes and challenges going with it. So, listen, I've opened a lot of doors tonight, and I should mention also that very soon I'm going to have as a guest on my show Robert Hastings, who coincidentally, an old AA term, there's no such thing as coincidence, and certainly in the spiritual world there isn't, especially lately. My new neighbor, one who lives just a few miles from me out in this county with only 7,500 people in the whole county, is a guy named Robert Hastings, who in 2010 held a press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., in which senior ranking Air Force officers at nuclear missile stations were coming very overtly clear about visitations and interference, not in any hostile sense, by alien spacecraft. Now, that's the only door I want to open with Robert Hastings because he's so good on this, and he is, he's become a fraud. He's taken his lumps like I took mine over the years. And this is stuff that I knew I just couldn't talk about until, Spirit relieved me of the duty which I had until this spring, which was fighting the powers that be in their own arena. And that's why I stand apart from so many other wonderful, wonderful people. I was just the one stupid enough to fight them in their own arena, according to their own rules, according to the state religion, and counting coup on a sitting Secretary of Defense and a sitting CIA director, if you can claim that. But I was relieved of that. So now we can talk about this other stuff. And he's going to be on soon. He's going to be speaking in Crestone, and I'm not asking you to accept anything else other than that. But bear in mind that my father was an Air Force officer. I grew up in the space program. I come from this same milieu. And these men who spoke in Robert Hastings' press conference, he's going to talk about some of the documentation when we have him on, are utterly credible. And I am tired of living in a world where science says that we have to ignore the fact that there were human civilizations predating 5,000 years ago, where science, because it's afraid of its ego, says that we have to ignore human skeletons embedded in rock 300 million years old. You know, the people who worship science have to first come clean with the sins of science along the way. But we have to go into the rabbit hole because I'm telling you, babies, there ain't no answer otherwise. If you want to talk tonight, by the way, the number is 1-888-874-4888. I may have pushed a few buttons on a few people out there. Please call in. Let's hear what's going on. I've been getting emails that the people who don't call in like it when those of you who do call in do call in. And a good friend of mine, he's actually a shaman who sent me a medicine bundle that actually brought my silly ass to this very strange and wonderful place. Travels with Bear was talking to me, and he says, you know, you are holding on that radio show, and you're holding in the work that you do, an enormous space for people to walk into. And this is hard for me to get used to. I've been a doer for most of my life, but a lot of my spiritual initiation, if you will, over this last year, some of the painful stuff, the renunciation, and so forth, has led me to a place where I have to get used to this idea of holding space, that just by being, I'm accomplishing something. That's a status afforded to elders. But he says that I'm holding a big space on this show and in this valley for those who are awakening to this. And I'm letting you know, baby, if you have some of this stuff going on, it's okay to talk about it. And helping people to ease into this, because it's very clear that not all seven, I gave up trying to save the world a long time ago. So I want to stop here. And as some of you guys, you know, call up or get the courage to call up, and I'm going to pay a little tribute again to my dear friend, the late Matthew Simmons. Matt was the largest energy investment banker in the world, and I met him at a peak oil conference in Paris in 2003, where I first physically met Colin Campbell, John Le Herrera, all the greats, Ali Samsam Bakhtiari. There were so many just giants of the peak oil movement there in 2003. And Matt was always this gregarious, outgoing, wonderful, clear-eyed, honorable dude who was a Republican, who was on President George W. Bush's, Dick Cheney's Energy Advisory Committee. But he spoke the truth a lot. And it's stuff about the Gulf of Mexico. I'm going to hold that for a second because Dave in Reno is on the line, and he just, I see something here about burying my heart at Wounded Knee. David, are you there?
Aho, mi taquiasse.
Aho. How are you, my brother?
Brother? Hey, good. Hey, I wanted to, I know you don't have much time here, real quickly. You had mentioned a couple shows back about a movie called Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. And just wanted to say, have you watched it yet?
No, I haven't watched the movie. I've got the book here, and I'm going to start that as soon as I get through with Black Elk Speaks. So,
well, what I wanted to tell you was that it's one of my favorite movies because I have the DVD, and in it, I won't ruin it for you, but one of the central characters was a Native American, and he connected with the establishment and tried to give them a chance at their, you know, BS about they wanted to help them, you know, the U.S. government wanted to be good to them. And he let them in his heart, and they betrayed him in the end, and he disenfranchised. And I thought that there was kind of a connection there, who you are and what you're about, you know, Tractor of Truth, and you spent a lot of your life working in that. You know, and then you said, hey, this ain't my bag. Anyway, the ironic thing, Mike, is the street you live on?
Yeah, Red Cloud, I know.
Is the name of the guy.
Red Cloud Road, 27378 Red Cloud Road, Moffett, Colorado. Yeah, man. Yeah, I know.
That's right.
It's amazing.
And I mentioned you on, I spoke with you a while back on when you were on with George Norrie on Coast to Coast, and I had since mentioned your PRN show on Sunday, so I gave you a little plug there, brother, and gets, you know, a couple million people in on how great you are at being right, thumbs on with what's going on.
Well, you're gonna love this, Dave. My first teacher, and I, as I turn around and look behind where I'm sitting, I look at his picture on my wall over a dream catcher he made, was a guy named Skip Mayhawk. He was an elder of the Dakota people. And he had been awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for service in the Oshawa Valley with the 101st Airborne in 1968, and he refused the decoration because he was fighting in an unjust war. So I did a video called Truth and Lies of 9/11 that I filmed just like a month, at the most 2 months after 9/11, in which I was already pointing the finger at the government. And it was in Portland State. 1,000 people showed up, and I'm in my hotel room, and boom, knock, knock, knock. There's this knock on my door. I open the door, and here's this little short, bitty Dakota Sioux guy wearing a hat, says Native, and he's got a tripod and a camera. He says, "Hi, I'm Skip Mayhawk. I'm here to be your cameraman, second cameraman."
My goodness.
And it's like I hadn't planned for a second cameraman. So I go, I didn't plan for a second cameraman. He goes, "May I come in?" And it's like the presence was unbelievable. So I stand up against my wall, And he tells me the story about refusing the Medal of Honor, and then he smiles and he says, I fought beside Russell Means at Wounded Knee.
Oh, my goodness.
And he showed up to pay me that tribute. And the last time I saw him was in 2003 before he died of illness related to Agent Orange at like 78. He was so cool. He walks up out of the fog in Portland and hands me this dream catcher, and he goes, here, I made this for you. You're going to need it. And he started laughing. And that was 3 years before I fled to Venezuela and I was poisoned in Venezuela. So we've got two other callers I want to move on to today, but I want to thank you for that and thank you for giving me the chance to honor my teacher.
Yes,
who is still with me.
And watch out for them deer crossings.
Right on, brother. Just
that
give the deer
crazy.
Some weed, they'll
that
sleep it
crazy.
Off.
That was crazy. All right, man. See you. Keep up
all
the
right,
work.
Brother. Linda from California, you got a question.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call, and I always enjoy your show. And love that you're heading down some rabbit holes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was curious, I haven't heard you say much about, but your thoughts on crop circles or crop formations.
Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that some crop circles are man-made. But I have absolutely no doubt, especially based upon the science, that crop circles are very clear, very precise, and I think very well understood in some human circles, messages mm-hmm. from other dimensions. And there are other dimensions, trust mm-hmm. me. We hope to be going into the fifth. There are other intelligences that we cannot see, and they're desperately, I think many of them who love us and this planet dearly, trying to communicate with us mm-hmm. and to help us prepare for this. The geometric patterns, and this is where I would fall back on the Greg Bradens and all the scientific work about sacred geometry, which didn't start with Greg Braden. Start with sacred geometry. Just Google mm-hmm. that. I think that some of the crop circles are incredibly precise geometric mathematical messages, warnings, codings, perhaps information designed to help, but certainly very solid evidence, because many of these could not be man-made, very solid evidence that there's a lot of people trying to communicate with us, really dumb humans.
I think it's really interesting, like, interviews have been done with farmers who have been paid by, say, mysterious people to basically plow them under within, you know, hours of their
mm-hmm.
appearing.
Mm-hmm. That's like so much of the stuff that the current meme says that we can't include in our discussions, because as soon as we do, we're labeled as crazy. Now, I fought for 30 years, and, you know, I just came out of that this spring. I was liberated from that. I couldn't talk about any of this because I had to fight in their arena. But without talking about any of this, we will never come to what I would call a unified field theory, an understanding of everything that makes sense, so that we get not an explanation for one problem, but an explanation for all problems at the same time.
Yeah. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Pat from upper Delaware, as opposed to lower Delaware, wants to talk about Matt Simmons. Hi, Pat.
Hello, sir. Here in the upper Delaware River, it's the watershed. As you know, it's the watershed for New York City and Philadelphia, and it's the home for the Eagles and for a bald eagle and for just a great, great folks. I Mr. Rupert, you are my hero. In this last year, Dr. Griffin, who understands now the science and the physics of 9/11, Mr. Rupert, you understood the motive and articulated it perfectly. And for these last several months, you've been my spiritual leader. You've been my guide from Sebastopol through the desert with your beautiful dog and into the Valley of Peace. And I'm following every word that you're saying. And, we need to shift right now from mm-hmm. fear to love. Mm-hmm. Those are your words. We need to have the eagle and the condor fly together.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new age. And when you brought up Matt Simmons, I've been thinking a lot about him in the last mm-hmm. couple of weeks. So thank you.
Matt was he was such a Brit, and he was such an inspiration to me, because I'm one of the guys that's kind of been way out in front of everybody for a long time. So there were very few people who I could look around to and say, look at that guy. And Matt Simmons was always one of those. For those who don't know, Matthew Simmons was the world's largest energy investment banker. I became aware of him as I was writing From the Wilderness, and he was quite a bit in Crossing the Rubicon. And I've interviewed him many times at the FTW site. We even, I think, interviewed him on CollapseNet. But he was totally outspoken and honest about peak oil, and he was a decent guy. He was just, and he was ballsy, you know, and Matt Simmons had just been there and so frank. But when Deepwater Horizon occurred, the Macondo spill with BP in the Gulf in 2010, early 2010, I believe it was, Matt was a guy who was screaming. He was saying, they're lying, they're telling the truth, they're not telling the truth. The Gulf of Mexico is dead. And he described how the leak had never been plugged. Matt and I were both all over the fact that it was 100,000 barrel a day, if not more, greater leak from day one. The Coast Guard lied. And really what Matt described was the fact was that the seabed was so, if you will, rotten and corroded. It had been so fractured, so damaged by horizontal drilling and everything else, that there was no single place to plug. It was the whole seabed that was leaking. And that corrects it. Was extremely toxic, and what it did was it sank all that oil that should have been on, shouldn't have been there in the first place, sank all that oil to the bottom, and it was poisoning the Gulf of Mexico from the bottom up. And Matt was screaming, the Gulf of Mexico is dead, the Gulf of Mexico is dead, don't believe them. And from November 30th, this was a story that I brought up, Pat, that I was going to talk about today. Unfinished business. This is from the Huffington Post, November 30th.
Yes.
The unspoken link between dispersants and sick children in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
All six of Julie Kreppel's young children are sick, vomiting, blisters all over their bodies, even in their hearts, boils, severe headaches that wake them up screaming at night, nausea, fevers, diarrhea, stomach spasms that contort their bodies in pain, skin lesions, psoriasis, nosebleeds that gush unexpectedly, respiratory infections, dizziness, sinus infections, hand, foot, and mouth disease, hair loss, and more. The Kreppels live in Boothville, Louisiana, in South Plaquemines Parish. Area health clinics and hospitals are experiencing an influx of sick children for treatment for a range of symptoms that began after the BP oil disaster. The increase in numbers of sick children coincides with massive spraying of toxic chemical dispersants into the water and air that began in 2010. More troubling is the fact that the children are still having these symptoms to this day. Matthew Simmons said that, and I believe Matthew Simmons paid for that with his life. He was reported to have died after drinking a glass of wine while sitting in a hot tub. I knew Matt Simmons. He drank his wine, but I believe he was murdered. I couldn't say that at the time. It served no purpose. But now Matt Simmons is just a symbol for me, dude, of maybe 50. And that's probably conservative, really courageous men, especially in the military. I did a lot of investigation on mysterious suicides and murders in the military, who gave their lives to tell the truth and who need to be recognized today as saints and martyrs for the sacrifices that they made. And I was talking to another old-time warrior, a friend of mine here, lives in Colorado, southern Colorado. You know, and we just look at each other. Why are we here? You know, because I come from that world, too. I lived in the world of spies and green beanies, and I didn't like it. I was kind of tossed in there. But I am conversant in it. I'm recognized as an operator. But so many people have died. But Matthew Simmons, to me, stands as one of the bravest of all, because now while there are many of us who still remember this great man, the vindication is standing right here, the same way that it was for my friend Gary Webb.
Well, you know, Michael, again, and thank you, because we're at that moment in time where fear needs to be transformed into love. Here, Matt Simmons helped us with our fight to deal with fracking. But you know something, here in the Upper Delaware, in the watershed, we actually won a historic victory. There's no drilling or fracking in this little spot. This is where the water comes from New York City, Philadelphia, and you know, so we're fighting hard, and here.
Oh, you're in the Marcellus play. Okay.
It's the Marcellus thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all end game stuff, and you articulated it very well. So here we are, sir. Thank you. We're listening loud and clear, and thank you for all of your very, very good work, sir.
Thank you much for calling in, Pat. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to move on because we're down to the last 5 minutes, and boy, a lot has been triggered tonight. And, you know, I would tend to put anybody in the same class as the woman who thinks the federal government should move the deer crossing signs because they can read and can actually go, and that, you know, man can control everything. You know, I'm at the point now where if you don't understand that the only solution for all of these problems is collapse, you're probably as nuts as that woman. The system's got to come down. The system will destroy everything. That's all it's capable of. It's based upon infinite growth, and most importantly, it's based upon lies. But light and truth are something that cut through that, and it is time. But, you know, it's. I think I quoted last week, great songwriter said, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And there's a lot of light starting to crack in now. And if you're having a lot of changes, and if you're even in the least curious about the fact that there may be an actual spiritual evolution taking place, something that was predicted and foreseen, their prophecies are doing a lot better in terms of describing addressing reality than what you see in the mainstream news and what you can find in the meme that you were enslaved into, that we've been enslaved into for at least 5,000 years, then you need to pursue this now. And you need to start asking questions. And I'm going to be going deeper into that on this show. I'm going to be more open about my experiences. And I was brought here to the San Luis Valley for a reason. And what I went through was not something that I chose when I had to leave Sebastopol. And I've been crying every day this week, missing the beauty and the land. And I knew all the plants. My corn was 10 feet. I'm still missing that. I'm still grieving for that. But I was brought here for a reason. And many of us are being put in places for a reason. It's not just me. I'm just like everybody else. I'm finding out what my mission is. And that's where we're going to go with that. We're going to open this space. I'm going to hold this space for you. Thank you all for so much for calling in tonight. And I'll sign off just saying this is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth. I am on the job. I'm in the rabbit hole. And I'll come back to you next week here on the Lifeboat Hour. Good night.